Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Yudhishthira, who was born without any enemy, was unfairly defeated in gambling, but because he had taken the vow of truthfulness, he went off to the forest. When he came back in due course and begged the return of his rightful share of the kingdom, he was refused by Dhritarashtra, who was overwhelmed by illusion. Purport. Maharaj Yudhishthira was the rightful heir to his father's kingdom, but just to favor his own sons, headed by Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra, Maharaj Yudhishthira's uncle, adopted various unfair means to cheat his nephews of their rightful share of the kingdom. At last, the Pandavas demanded only 5 villages, 1 for each of the 5 brothers, but that was also refused by the usurpers. This incident led to the war of Kurukshetra. The battle of Kurukshetra, therefore, was induced by the Kurus and not the Pandavas. As Kshatriyas, the proper livelihood of the Pandavas was only to rule and not to accept any other occupation. A Brahmana, Kshatriya or Vaishya will not accept employment for his livelihood under any circumstances. Here the word is mentioned, sadhoho, which is a modified form of the well-known word sadhu. Yudhishthira Maharaj was a sadhu. You may wonder, how is he a sadhu? Because a sadhu, we usually think of someone wearing orange cloth, leading a very renounced life, whereas Yudhishthira was a king. But he was a sadhu because he was a devotee of Krishna, was the main qualification, and because he led a holy life. Dhritarashtra was also a king, but he wasn't a devotee of Krishna. Although Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana on one side and Yudhishthira on the other, they led a very similar lifestyle, but one is considered sadhu and the other is considered asadhu. Now you may wonder that how then there came to be a fight. If Yudhishthira is a sadhu, we don't expect sadhus to fight. Well, actually, in modern India or recent India, there are also the Naga Babas who fight, or they used to fight before there was... And some sadhus were organized at one point to violently oppose the British, and then we find some sadhus, they want to fight with Muslims and so on. But in general, the idea of a sadhu is a very peaceful person, doesn't like to fight. Generally we think of a sadhu is connected with ahimsa, non-violence. But Yudhishthira was fighting. Arjuna, he thought not to fight. And Krishna taught him, you should fight. So what's this got to do with our Krishna conscious movement? What am I suggesting here? That you should all get AK-47s and bead bag in one hand and a bomb in the other? No. Actually, there may be some like that, because in human society, there are Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, and Kshatriyas, they must fight. So in Krishna-conscious society, there should be Kshatriyas also. But at this phase of our movement, preaching in a city like Singapore, we're not going to institute that. Law and order situation, that should be taken care of by the government, mostly by the government, and not by the Citizens, they may play some part, but that's specific division. So what's this got to do? Yes, specific division means the police and this and that. So what's this got to do with us here now? Why are we going to talk about some fighting that took place 5,000 years ago? Well, brahmanas, they also fight. Sadhus, they also fight. Apart from physical fighting, there is philosophical fighting. Sadhus are meant for fighting. Devotees are meant for fighting. Srila Prabhupada's pranam mantra, which he composed himself. The first two lines are generic mantras, or a generic mantra. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutana Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminitina. So generic means this mantra was given for his own guru, and then among his god brothers also. They have the same mantra, but just the name is changed for the individual guru. And the second line, Srila Prabhupada composed it himself. Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Deshatane. Obeisances to you, the servant of Saraswati Goswami, who are kindly preaching the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Western countries and delivering them from impersonalism and voidism. So the fight is against impersonalism and voidism. Just like the Kurus and the Pandavas, they're brothers and they fought amongst each other. You may say, why such a big fight? Because anyway, one of them has to be the king. But Krishna wanted that, because he wanted that even though the Kuru, Duryodhana could have been on the throne, or Yudhishthira could have been on the throne, and for the citizens in general, it would have seemed to be pretty much the same thing. But there would be a great difference. The great difference is that Duryodhana was not a devotee of Krishna, and Yudhishthira was, and therefore by serving under Duryodhana, the people have no spiritual benefit. But whereas by living in a society under Yudhishthira, then they're all connected to Krishna. He will guide them in service to Krishna. So in the same way, between Mayavadis and Vaishnavas, there are many similar things. The culture is the same. And many Mayavadis, or of course nowadays there are so many bogus people who are just absolutely bogus. Everything about them. But some of the Mayavadis, we can say that, well, they follow strictly, more strictly than the Vaishnavas. Some of them, they're very strict and they follow vows. So they're sadhus, but they're not devotees of Krishna in the proper way. Therefore, we fight with them. Not physically, but philosophically. We respect them as sadhus, that they're seriously following the Vedic path. But philosophically we have severe differences with them. And Srila Prabhupada definitely fought against Mayavada. It's right there in his pranam mantra, which he made himself, because you wouldn't expect a guru to make a pranam mantra by himself, but his disciples had no idea. They could hardly even speak English properly, what to speak of Sanskrit. Well, yeah, English, but it was hippie English. So, Srila Prabhupada, he specifically put this, the fight with Mayavada. And then what is the fault with the Mayavada? What is the fault with Dhritarashtra? It's a natural thing to favor your own sons. But it may seem natural, but it's wrong. Especially if your sons are opposed to Krishna or opposed to the devotees of Krishna. So in Mayavada you may say, well, it's not such a bad thing. But it is. It's such a bad thing that we should fight. The difference is that, well, one difference is that Yudhishthira and the Pandavas, they fought, and then the battle was finished, then it was over. It's a historical event. But with Mayavad, the fighting will go on and on. There'll always be Mayavadis in the world. First Mayavadi we have to fight with is ourself, the Mayavadi inside. Mayavad is a way to avoid Krishna. So as much as we're avoiding Krishna, we're being impersonal. We're not, as much as we want to enjoy separately from Krishna, then we're denying Krishna's personality. Krishna's personality is an overwhelming personality. You must have heard of this psychological term talking about a dominating personality. And it's difficult to be with such people. It may be your mother or your boss at work or a teacher. They just want to dominate every aspect of your life. You could say the government of Singapore is a little bit like that. They take charge of every aspect of your life. In one sense, they look after you and this and that. But in some ways you may feel somewhat oppressed, psychologically oppressed. So if someone wants to dominate like that, I know the generation that I grew up in the Western countries, we rebelled against our parents' control. That your sons and your daughters are beyond your control, sung Bob Dylan, who you may have heard of. So I know myself, growing up, I didn't like whatever clothes my mother wanted me to wear, I didn't want to wear them. She wanted me to wear very formal, smart clothes. I didn't like it. Just for instance, I didn't want to be dominated. But Krishna is the most dominating person. We have to do what he says. So I may think, that's too much. I don't like it. Well, if we don't like it, then we come to the material world. But if we accept to be dominated by Krishna, actually we can live very happily. We can say Vaikuntha is somewhat like Singapore, in which the government looks after everything, and everyone, all their needs are taken care of. Whereas Golok Vrindavan, it's more free. Even you can fight with Krishna. Friendly fighting. The cowherd boys, the gopis, they're also arguing with Krishna, but it's all in love. Vrindavan is the land of love. Vaikuntha is the place of law and order. There's the Golok chart is there. Actually, to understand this chart, you have to see the CDs also that goes with it. You know that? Have you seen the CDs that go with it? Yeah. It's quite a detailed topic. So, as much as if we're not on the very high level of being in full love of Krishna that we can call Krishna bad names and Krishna will enjoy it, that's the Vrindavan platform. And we're not on the platform of Vaikuntha where we follow the government and the government looks after everything and Vaikuntha, Lakshmi Narayana. And we're very satisfied with that. Then we have to go to jail. Jail is the material world. That's here. Whole material world is one big jail. Durga means a fortress, very difficult to get outside of. So Mayavadis, they may seem to be very saintly, but they're imposters. They're pretending to be good citizens, but actually they want to deny Krishna. They want to deny his supremacy. So we should fight against them. We should be a good citizen of the spiritual world and fight against Mayavad, as Srila Prabhupada fought. with this, he was fought against Mayavad. He didn't only speak about the sweetness of the spiritual world. Practically more, he spoke about the cheating of the Mayavadi. So I'm just going to say a few things about that, because it is a very important topic, and if we don't discuss this, then we'll be victimized by it. All these topics, that we have to become detached from this material world, we have to become detached from sexual attraction, we have to completely reject Mayavad. We have to discuss these topics again and again and again. Otherwise that poison which is within our heart of rejecting Krishna or accepting that which is mundane, that will grow. So we have to hear. Now, just briefly I'll discuss it, because it's a very big topic. And like I said, I presume you've all heard this all before. So we need to get a refresher from time to time. Otherwise it's easy to sink back into bad mental habits. So all the Mayavadis propose, basically it's all one. All their propositions have been exposed by the Vaishnava Acharyas. What they say is self-contradictory. They say everything is one. In technical language they say jnana, jnaya and jnata. It's all one. That means knowledge, that which is to be known, and that who, the person who knows it. It all becomes one. Just now, there is, in our present situation, it's not all one. I know something. For instance, I know, I am the knower, I know, that is the knowledge, that there is a city-state called Singapore. So in this, I know there is a place called Singapore. So in this sentence, there is Gyan, Gaya, and Gyata. There is the knowledge that there is a place called Singapore. There is the object of knowledge, which is Singapore itself, and there is the knower, which in this case means me or anyone else. But the Mayavadis propose that it's all, in the perfect stage, it all becomes one. Which is impossible to imagine. You can't even think. If maybe you know nothing. If you know nothing, and then it just becomes nothingness. That's another way of putting it. There's just nothing. Because as soon as there's something, as soon as you can say there's something, then there's someone to know that there's something. And then how can you say it's all one? The Mayavadis, they talk about Brahmananda, the bliss of impersonal liberation. But if it's all one, then there's no one to experience the bliss. Then how can the experience and the experiencer be the same? There must be two separate phenomena. So either, if you say there is Brahmananda, then there's two-ness, at least two-ness, because there is the experience and the experiencer. How can it all be the same? Can't be the same. Or if you say there's no Brahmananda, then why are you talking about it? So there are so many internal contradictions in Mayavad. And another one, Srila Prabhupada gave all of these, but it's not that Srila Prabhupada invented these arguments against Mayavad. It's been going on for hundreds of years. Practically, even Shankara was arguing with non-Vaishnavas. He was arguing with, actually he mostly went among the followers of the Vedas, Mimamsakas. So they gave their arguments. But the Vaishnavas first opposed him, Ramanuja. He first opposed Shankara's philosophy. So, and then Madhva even more strongly. So, many arguments. One common argument, if you say that, well, everyone is all one. So if one person gets liberation, then everyone should get liberation. If I am you and you are me, and we are all together, then if one gets liberated, they all should be liberated. Then how are you in Maya anyway? If you say that the jiva is supreme, but we forgot, how did you forget? If you're supreme, then Maya becomes bigger than the supreme. If you say, I'm the supreme, but I'm just forgot. And then why it's your leela? Your leela to become a pig and eat stool. Or if you say all is one, then when you're hungry, don't go and eat rice, go and eat stool. It's all the same. Or if you are, don't eat at all, don't breathe, because breathing and not breathing is the same. It's all one. But they talk about vyavaharik or practical reality. It's, Srila Prabhupada came up with the term in English, word jugglery. It doesn't make any, there's a lack of internal logic. But then why is it so popular? Because people are rascals. They like it. It sounds good. I am one with reality. I am supreme. People like to, they like to dream like this. Actually, the Mayava, someone who thinks like this, I am supreme. I am the cosmic one. There are people who think like this. Many people who think like this. But actually they realize in their heart, deep down inside, they realize I'm totally insignificant, which is actually a fact. But they don't want to accept that. They want to be big, but they're unable to be big. You can become big in various ways. You can be a big politician, or a big sports star, or a big film star. There's so many, in the modern world, they've created so many sports. So people can become big in table tennis, or soccer, or weightlifting, or boxing, or swimming. So you can become big in business. But most people are not big in any particular way. The great majority of people are not outstanding in any field. So people who they have this desire, I want to be very big. I wanted to be the world boxing champion, but instead my wife punches me every day. And I couldn't even control my wife, what to speak of becoming the world boxing champion. Or I wanted to be a great businessman, so I invested all my money and I lost it all. So we may have desire. I wanted to be famous, but I'm just an ordinary person. So we imagine. We can't become big even materially. According to our karmic results, we don't have what is required to become big. So then we imagine, oh, I'm not interested in being a big businessman. These people are all in low level. I am on a high level. I am the super cosmos beyond everything. I am supreme. Someone related, there was in Back to Godhead magazine once, there was someone he related that he went to in America, went to some yoga guru who was giving courses, and he was teaching that now you visualize yourself, you are the supreme, the whole cosmos is within you, you are directing everything. Then all of a sudden, ah, he screamed. He had a terrible toothache and he had to leave in the middle. He had to rush out in the middle of the meditation session and rush off to the doctor, to the dentist. So he was exposed. He probably came back and said, well, I was just having a leela. They're so shameless, these people. They're so shameless. It was my leela of having a toothache. You can't understand it. Yeah, you're right. I can't understand it. But you see that the people are there completely insignificant. They realize they're insignificant, and they just in their imagination, some spirit, so-called spiritual imagination, they want to be big. Materially, they can't be big, and then spiritually, they keep it all vague. They never speak clearly. One thing that I personally, and I know many devotees, I was very, very happy coming to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. He spoke clearly. All these Mayavadis coming from India, you can't understand anything they say. And if you can't understand them, that they take to be the sign. Oh, very high. He spoke so many things. I couldn't understand. It must be very, very high. Just like if you go to a... Do we have anyone here who's an expert in atomic physics? No. So if you go to a lecture on atomic physics, you wouldn't understand anything. Me also. I mean, you might understand some of the English words, but you wouldn't understand if the lecture was given in English. But you wouldn't understand the concepts. So you think, oh, they're a very high level, you see. Actually, that's true in terms of atomic physics. But it's so the same thing if you go to a lecture by some spiritualist, oh, couldn't understand anything, must be on a very high level. But no, one who is on a high level, well, there are two things. If you speak to a group of specialists, then you may speak in technical language. But if you're trying to enlighten people at their level, then you have to speak on their level. So if Einstein came, if he was resuscitated. Anyway, I'm just giving an example. So if a very high level professor of physics was to speak to a lay audience, he'd have to speak at their level. So Srila Prabhupada, he spoke very clearly, made everything clear. You are not God. Oh yeah, that's true. All this time I was thinking I'm God. Actually, he's right. I'm not God. You are eternal. Spirits are... Oh, so you can understand it. Whereas these Mayavadis, you are the cosmic oneness, the light beyond the light. What does that mean, the light beyond the light? It's just, it doesn't mean anything. You can try and imagine it means something. But it's meaningless. So, but people, they think that this is very spiritual, and then they imagine, yes. I am the light beyond the light. I am the ultimate cosmic principle of everything. And then he farts. He can't control his fart even. And he wants to say he's God. So Srila Prabhupada pointed out that all this nonsense. Very clear, not vague, roundabout, beating round the bush. Everything clear he gave us. And if you come to a more technical level of Vaishnava philosophy, then we may discuss on a more intricate level. Just like if we have a group of newcomers to Krishna consciousness, we won't speak in the same way to a group of those who have been coming regularly for some time. There's a difference in level. So we should know this Mayavad, it's all cheating. And our fight is against this cheating. Just like this Yudhishthira, he had to fight. He was a devotee. He could have just sat and chanted Hare Krishna, but Krishna didn't want him to. He wanted him to fight against the army of Duryodhana. So Srila Prabhupada, he could have also just said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But he fought very strongly against Mayavad. And we should also. Fighting means we should know what is their philosophy and what is wrong with it and what is the right philosophy. Otherwise we may be bewildered. You see, many Mayavadis, they're very austere and learned, very moral in their behavior, very self-controlled. So these are all good qualities, no doubt. No doubt Duryodhana, he was competent to rule. He was also trained as a kshatriya, so the basic administration, he may have done it very well. We don't hear in Mahabharata any complaint against his system of government. But there's a problem, a major problem, is that he's not a devotee of Krishna. Of course, even morally, he took the kingdom away from Yudhishthira by unfair means. But anyway, politicians, they tend to do that kind of thing, especially in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga was about to begin. So Duryodhana may have done many good qualities. In fact, when he died, just before he died, he said, I led a good life. He thought he said himself, I'm not scared to die. I led a good life. I did so many yajnas. I supported the brahmanas. He thought he was good. And other people may have thought he was good. But he was wrong. And we should understand why he is wrong. We should understand why the Mayavadis are wrong. They may do very many things well, but if they teach the Vedic knowledge without presenting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate goal of the Vedas, Vaidaishya Sarvera Ahameva Vedaha, then they're cheating people. Very badly. They're cheating people. Because they appear to be doing so many things in a proper way. But the ultimate result is that they mislead you. It's just like the pig is being kept by the farmer. And the pig thinks, my owner is so nice. He says, every day he feeds me nice food. And I'm getting fatter and fatter. It's so nice. And he doesn't realize that the intention of the farmer is to one day cut his throat. So like that, the Mayavadis, they may be giving us good advice, moral advice. They may not even know there's anything wrong with it themselves. Just like the farmer, he doesn't think there's anything wrong with killing pigs. But the pig thinks there's something wrong. So in the same way, the Mayavadis may think they're right, but there's the very serious wrong is that they don't clearly present Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to whom we have to surrender. They may appear to be very wise and learned. They may quote so many things, Prajnanam Brahma, Aham Brahmasmi. They may quote, and we generally think of them as being very wise people. See, they have very deep knowledge. You have to be careful of this wisdom, what they call in English wisdom. It's usually some kind of Mayavad or agnostic kind of thing. Wisdom. Yes. Feel the light flowing within your veins, or the energy which pervades everything. Sounds all very wise and very deep. But where's Krishna? They forgot Krishna. Everyone in this material world forgot Krishna. Krishna Bhuli Sejivan Adi Bahimuk. From time immemorial we forgot Krishna. But the Mayavadis do it in a very sophisticated way, which is very misleading. So be careful. Several times devotees asked me to write a book against Mayavad. But I told them, we already have the best book given by Srila Prabhupada. It's called Bhagavad Gita As It Is. Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita speaks against the Mayavad, for instance. Abhijananti mang murha manushing tanamashritam param bhavma jananti. What is it? Mama bhutavya. Mama bhutadim avyayam. Avyaktam vyakti mapanam manyante mama buddhayaha. Param bhavma jananto. Amavyayam anuttamam. So these verses, Krishna directly speaks against this misconception, demoniac misconception, that Krishna is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada elaborates on that. For instance, the first time that Krishna, or when Krishna begins his instruction in Bhagavad Gita, it opens with Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. And in that purport, Srila Prabhupada explains in detail what is the meaning of Bhagavan. It's not just anyone speaking. This is Bhagavan. What is the meaning of that? In his introduction also, Srila Prabhupada, in the preface to Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srila Prabhupada says, why do we need another edition of Bhagavad Gita? There are so many, but they're all misleading. None of them present Krishna's message as he presents it. Actually, one of my godbrothers, he did make a book called Pushpanjali, in which he took all the examples that Prabhupada gave against Mayavad and made that into a book. We should reprint that book, actually. Let me make a note of that. That's compiled by my godbrother, Patit Pavan Prabhu, who was one of my first guides or teachers. And he was very, when I joined in London, so he'd been in India and he drilled me against Mayavad when I first joined the temple. So I'll just make a note, we should reprint that book also. The devotees who are managing my book production, we just produced a book he did, Chanakya Niti. He wrote the book and we published it. So I want to publish, now I have my book trust, I want to publish more books, not only my books. There are many good books. Best books are Prabhupada's books, but the kirtan is unlimited, so it should go on. So now we want to... Have you seen that Rethinking Darwin book against Darwin's theory by Lalitanath Prabhu from Denmark? So we're going to reprint that also. These are very important books for preaching. Prabhupada, he was against Mayavada. All the arguments are there in Pushpanjali, this book. And then he was against, Srila Prabhupada was against his Darwin's theory. He wanted us to preach against it. So that's a book about that. So like the Chanakya Niti, Srila Prabhupada quoted that so many times. So he's made, Patit Pavan Prabhu has collected all of that, given all of Prabhupada's quotes, and then given his own understanding of the different verses based on Srila Prabhupada's teachings. So in this way we should expand the kirtan. What's that verse? Yad kirtanam, Shukadev's prayers. You know that? Mahavishnu Maharaj used to teach it to his disciples. Yad kirtanam, yad smaranam, yad vandanam. So, I know he tried to teach me once, but somehow I didn't remember it. But, kirtanam. By whose kirtan? We all become benefited. So this is part of kirtan. They're directly glorifying Krishna and also cutting out all the wrong ideas by which Krishna is hidden. Mayavad, Darwinvad, and so on. So, Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.